MyAudiobooks.ai presents Onkalo's Deep Time, Finland's Nuclear Repository and Warning the Future. Beneath a forested island on the western coast of Finland, ancient crystalline bedrock serves as the setting for two extraordinary challenges. The first is physical, isolating thousands of tons of spent nuclear fuel so securely that it cannot harm the biosphere for 100,000 years. The second challenge is intellectual, warning societies that will exist on that far horizon about the lethal hazard buried beneath their feet. What happens when physical barriers endure, but the language, symbols, and culture meant to explain them vanish entirely? To solve both problems, engineers and researchers have had to rethink what it means to build something designed to outlast human civilization. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create your own audiobooks from prompts, turn your documents into audio, all with one subscription, and store your items in your own personal library. On the island of Olkiluoto, located in southwestern Finland beside a major nuclear power station, sits an underground facility known as Onkalo. The name means cavity or hidden space in Finnish. It is operated by Posiva, a specialized waste management enterprise established jointly by Finland's commercial nuclear utilities, Teollisuuden Voima and Fortum. Onkalo exists because of a clear legal and ethical standard established in Finnish policy. Under the National Nuclear Energy Framework, all spent fuel generated within Finland must be permanently managed, stored, and disposed of on Finnish soil, while foreign radioactive waste is barred from entry. The inventory bound for this underground site comes directly from the commercial reactors at Olkiluoto and the Loviisa power station along the southern coast. This policy makes Onkalo an expression of domestic responsibility.
The society that benefits from the electricity produced by atomic fission undertakes to resolve the resulting waste within its own borders, rather than passing that burden to neighboring states or distant descendants. The disposal system operates across two linked facilities. At the surface stands the encapsulation plant, an industrial complex designed to receive spent fuel assemblies from reactor cooling pools, dry them completely, and seal them inside airtight metal disposal canisters. Below ground lies the repository itself, a vast subterranean complex accessed through a descending vehicular ramp that spirals through solid rock, accompanied by vertical shafts for personnel, ventilation, and heavy lifting. The spent fuel disposal tunnels sit between 400 and 430 meters below the surface. This depth insulates the waste from weather, soil erosion, and near-surface groundwater circulation. The underground research and access facilities reach down even further, to approximately 450 meters, a depth that is substantially less than half a mile into the earth. Meanwhile, a separate and considerably shallower underground facility, situated at roughly 180 meters, handles the low and intermediate level operating waste produced by reactor maintenance and encapsulation work. That shallower site operates under different technical rules because its contents decay to baseline radiation levels much faster than the spent fuel resting in the deep granite below. Securing regulatory approval for this facility has required decades of systematic verification. The Finnish government granted the formal construction license for Onkalo in November 2015, establishing the world's first licensed permanent deep geological repository for spent commercial fuel.
In 2021, Posiva submitted its operating license application, requesting authorization to operate the facility from March 2024 through the end of 2070. That date span represents the administrative period covered by the application, rather than a fixed calendar date for the commencement of final disposal. In nuclear governance, technical safety findings, political authorizations, and the physical start of disposal are separate steps. Safety assessments by the Finnish Radiation and Nuclear Safety Authority establish the verified technical baseline. Following regulatory review, the national government must formally issue the operating license before technicians can emplace the first live fuel canister underground. Behind this engineering effort lies a fundamental tension between institutional lifespans and radiological timescales. Human organizations are fragile. Over recorded history, dynasties fall, languages evolve, corporations dissolve, and political treaties disappear. No existing government, agency, or corporation can be assumed to survive 10,000 years, let alone 100,000. Therefore, Onkalo's core design principle is absolute. The protection of the biosphere must not depend on continuous human supervision, unbroken maintenance, or political stability. To achieve permanent safety without human management, Onkalo relies on the KBS-3 disposal concept. Originally developed in Sweden and adapted to Finnish geology by Posiva, this strategy uses defense in depth. The system nests several complementary physical barriers inside one another. Each barrier performs a distinct protective role, ensuring that if any single component experiences localized degradation, the remaining layers maintain overall containment. The first barrier is the fuel matrix itself. Nuclear fuel takes the form of dense ceramic pellets of uranium dioxide, stacked inside sealed rods made of a zirconium alloy.
Ceramic is chemically stable and dissolves with extreme slowness in the deep, oxygen-depleted groundwater found within Finnish granite. If groundwater ever reaches the inner core of the repository, the ceramic structure limits the dissolution rate to a molecular pace. A breach in an outer container would therefore lead to a gradual, delayed release over geological epochs rather than an immediate radiological surge. The second barrier is the disposal canister. Measuring over 5 meters in length, each canister contains two structural elements working in tandem. Inside sits a structural insert cast from nodular iron, divided into individual channels that hold the fuel assemblies. This cast iron core provides mechanical strength, engineered to withstand the crushing weight of shifting rock masses and the pressure exerted by future continental ice sheets. Enclosing that iron insert is a seamless outer cylinder made of oxygen-free copper, roughly 5 centimeters thick. In deep, oxygen-free groundwater, copper exhibits exceptional corrosion resistance. The iron provides physical stability, while the copper provides chemical preservation. The third barrier is the bentonite buffer. When a canister reaches its final position, technicians lower it into a vertical deposition hole drilled into the floor of a tunnel. The space between the copper canister and the surrounding granite wall is packed with dense blocks of bentonite, a natural volcanic clay. Bentonite swells dramatically upon absorbing moisture. Confined within the rigid rock cavity, the clay expands until it generates millions of pascals of swelling pressure. This pressure seals microscopic voids, preventing groundwater from circulating freely against the copper surface. Water can only diffuse through saturated bentonite at an exceptionally slow rate. The clay also acts as a chemical filter that binds escaping radioactive ions, while its dense elasticity cushions the canister against minor seismic shifts.
The fourth barrier is the crystalline bedrock. The migmatites and gneisses beneath Olkiluoto formed roughly 1.9 billion years ago. At more than 400 meters below ground, this bedrock isolates the waste from surface weather, climate swings, surface flooding, and human warfare. However, geological age alone does not guarantee safety. Bedrock naturally contains fracture networks, through which deep groundwater moves. Posiva maps these fractures using acoustic imaging, core sampling, and chemical testing. Technicians use this data to ensure that deposition holes are bored exclusively into stable, low-fracture rock volumes with predictable groundwater conditions. The subterranean layout reflects this systematic approach. Dozens of horizontal deposition tunnels branch out from primary transport corridors. In the floor of each tunnel, drills carve vertical holes roughly 8 meters deep and 2 meters across. Each hole accommodates one canister encased in bentonite, with approximately 40 holes spaced along a typical tunnel. The planned inventory will ultimately encompass about 6,500 tons of spent uranium fuel, distributed across roughly 3,300 canisters. The completed repository will include tens of kilometers of underground tunnels. Excavation, canister emplacement, and sequential sealing will span nearly a century, with final closure projected sometime in the 22nd century. Once the final canister is lowered into the rock, workers will backfill the deposition tunnels with clay and crushed stone, followed by massive structural plugs that seal the access shafts. From that moment forward, Onkalo relies on passive safety. The repository must protect the surface world indefinitely without electrical power, mechanical ventilation, pumping systems, human guards, or repairs. To confirm that this passive architecture can endure, scientists evaluate the design against three overlapping stress horizons.
The first horizon encompasses the centuries immediately following closure. During this era, the principal physical stress is decay heat. Short-lived fission products emit substantial thermal energy, warming the canisters, the surrounding bentonite buffer, and the host rock. Safety models must confirm that temperatures within the clay remain below thresholds that could alter the mineral structure of the bentonite or diminish its swelling capacity. The second horizon spans thousands of years, as thermal energy dissipates and long-term geochemistry becomes the dominant factor. Deep groundwater in stable crystalline rock is anoxic, creating an environment where metallic copper remains stable over vast timescales. However, groundwater carries dissolved sulfides, produced in part by subterranean sulfate-reducing bacteria. If sulfides reach the canister surface, they drive slow chemical corrosion. Safety evaluations examine general corrosion alongside localized pitting, stress corrosion cracking, and the possibility that glacial meltwater might dilute groundwater salinity and erode the clay buffer. The third horizon extends across tens to hundreds of thousands of years, encompassing future glacial cycles. Climate modeling indicates that continental ice sheets several kilometers thick could repeatedly cover northern Europe. An ice sheet of that scale exerts immense downward pressure on the Earth's crust, altering underground stress fields and depressing regional groundwater tables. As the glacier retreats, pressurized, oxygen-rich meltwater could penetrate deep into rock fractures, while the rebounding crust could trigger seismic faulting. Canisters and buffer materials are dimensioned to withstand these mechanical loads, shear displacements, and hydrochemical shifts. To evaluate these complex phenomena, Posiva compiles what is known as a safety case.
A safety case functions as a structured, evidence-based demonstration rather than an absolute claim to prophesy every detail of deep time. It integrates site measurements from Olkiluoto, underground laboratory experiments, and mathematical models. These simulations demonstrate that across both expected conditions and extreme scenarios, potential radiation doses to the biosphere remain far below strict regulatory limits. Yet even a rigorously modeled passive repository faces a vulnerability that geology cannot solve: direct human intrusion. Long after institutional records fade, future societies might drill into the bedrock in search of minerals, geothermal energy, or deep water reserves. Physical barriers isolate the waste from nature, but they do not automatically inform future explorers about what lies beneath the surface. Communicating danger across 100,000 years is the central problem of nuclear semiotics, the study of how signs and symbols preserve meaning across extreme timescales. Written human history spans roughly 5,000 years. Across that relatively brief period, languages have transformed completely, writing systems have vanished, and symbols have changed their cultural meanings. Modern speakers cannot read thousand-year-old forms of their own languages without academic training. Over 100,000 years, spoken and written communication could change thousands of times over, or human civilization could experience total collapse. Ionizing radiation presents an additional challenge because it bypasses human perception. It emits no sound, produces no distinctive scent, casts no visual shadow, and causes no immediate pain until an organism has already absorbed a dangerous dose. Without specialized detection equipment, an explorer who excavated an ancient canister would have no physical indication of danger. To address this problem, researchers have evaluated several communication methods, each carrying its own structural limitation.
The first strategy involves constructing durable surface markers, such as stone monoliths, earthen mounds, or monumental earthworks designed to withstand physical erosion. Studies conducted for facilities like the Waste Isolation Pilot Plant in the United States examined concepts involving massive stone spikes and multilingual warnings carved into granite slabs. However, that facility handles defense-related transuranic waste buried in desert salt formations, and its monumental marker proposals were not adopted for Onkalo. Physical monuments face a persistent dilemma. Natural weathering wears them down, and grand earthworks risk being dismantled by future societies in search of building stone. The second strategy relies on distributed archives and land registries. This approach places comprehensive geological maps, technical diagrams, and explanatory texts across international regulatory agencies,
national libraries, and university repositories worldwide. The advantage is depth and precision. An archival record can articulate the physics of radioactive decay far more clearly than a simple pictogram. The weakness is institutional vulnerability. Archival systems depend on continuous administrative custody, compatible data storage media, and societies stable enough to consult historical archives before undertaking deep drilling projects. The third strategy explores cultural memory, attempting to transmit warnings through oral traditions, folklore, or rituals passed down through generations. Some theorists have proposed establishing caretaker traditions, or specialized groups tasked with preserving the taboo of the disposal site. While certain indigenous cultures have transmitted oral histories of tsunamis or volcanic eruptions across several millennia, deliberately engineering a cultural ritual that preserves accurate technical information across deep time remains entirely unproven. The fourth strategy is deliberate silence.
This concept proposes leaving no surface markers at all. Once the underground tunnels are backfilled, surface installations would be dismantled, the area reforested, and the island returned to a natural state. Proponents suggest that conspicuous monuments attract human attention. Throughout archaeological history, marked tombs and monuments have drawn explorers, excavators, and treasure seekers. Erasing surface traces removes the temptation to explore. The counterargument to deliberate silence is practical and ethical. While silence prevents curious excavation, it increases the risk that future societies might drill into the canisters purely by accident while prospecting for resources. This conflict produces the warning paradox. Any monument durable and dramatic enough to catch the attention of distant descendants risks functioning as an invitation to investigate. Finland's technical strategy places primary weight on geological isolation, land registry preservation, and international archival coordination, rather than theatrical landscape architecture. Across international discussions, one reality remains clear. Every communication strategy relies on assumptions about the culture, tools, and motivations of societies that we cannot possibly predict. Evaluating Onkalo requires distinguishing what is physically established from what is scientifically projected and what remains fundamentally unresolved. What is established is tangible and verified. The repository tunnels exist, carved more than 400 meters into stable rock. The surface encapsulation facility stands completed. Decades of rock core drilling, geochemical analysis, and fracture mapping have established the baseline conditions of Olkiluoto's geology. The project has advanced through rigorous licensing stages, including its construction approval in November 2015 and formal safety assessments by national regulators.
These achievements demonstrate thorough technical scrutiny while remaining distinct from the actual start of live fuel disposal. What is projected relies on scientific modeling. The performance of the system over hundreds of thousands of years depends on calculations showing that copper canisters will resist sulfide corrosion. Models also project that bentonite buffers will maintain swelling pressure across future glaciations, and that radionuclide movement through fractured rock will remain within safe limits. These projections are anchored in laboratory data, underground experiments, and geological analogs, but they remain modeled expectations of an unfolding future. What remains unresolved belongs to human history. Science can predict the physical behavior of granite and copper far better than it can predict human behavior. We cannot know whether future civilizations will understand our warnings, or whether they will possess instruments to detect deep radiation before drilling. This distinction highlights the ethical balance of passive disposal. By sealing Onkalo permanently, current society removes the burden of perpetual maintenance from future generations. Our descendants will not need to manage active cooling systems, run electrical pumps, or fund armed security forces to contain our industrial waste. Yet that permanence also restricts their choices. Spent fuel can be recovered during the operational era using surface cranes, but retrieval after final closure would require an extensive, hazardous re-excavation through backfilled rock. The repository design prioritizes long-term passive protection over ease of future access. Economic fairness also governs the project's structure. Under Finnish policy, the multi-billion euro cost of Onkalo is financed by the nuclear power operators through a dedicated waste fund built into electricity rates.
The generation that used the energy pays for the complete disposal cycle, preventing the transfer of an unpaid financial liability to future taxpayers.
Physical containment and the preservation of knowledge are complementary duties, not competing alternatives. The barrier sequence of ceramic fuel, cast iron, copper, bentonite clay, and crystalline rock is engineered to protect the living world even if human civilization forgets the facility entirely. At the same time, maintaining technical records acknowledges that future generations are moral equals who deserve to know what lies beneath their land. Onkalo ultimately stands as an engineering achievement and an intergenerational contract. It is designed to require nothing from our descendants while offering them the information they need to remain safe. If this look into deep time altered your view of the legacy modern society leaves behind, carry that question forward. If you had to leave an enduring message for a civilization 10,000 years in the future, would you instruct them to remember, or would you allow them to forget? Thanks for watching. To create your own audiobooks from your prompts and documents, visit myaudiobooks.ai. Subscribe for more.